My name is Rebecca Leinberger. I'm a research area specialist at the University of Michigan School of Public Health. I'm here to talk to you today about a study that we conducted regarding vision care providers' perspectives on inquiring about driving with their older adult patients. Do I left click? Oh yeah, here we go. I have no financial disclosures. I'd like to acknowledge my collaborators for this study and also our funding source. Okay, so to provide you with a little bit of context for this study, in the United States, the number of drivers over the age of 65 will grow to roughly 40 million people by the year 2020, representing the fastest growing segment of the driving population. We know that for many seniors, driving signifies the ability to stay active and be independent, and remain socially connected, and there's a whole host of negative outcomes associated with driving cessation. Decreased quality of life, increased depression and social isolation, and reduced access to healthcare services. That said, the fatality rate for drivers 85 and older is 9 times as high as it is for drivers 25 through 69 years of age. And while there are many health-related factors that contribute to an individual's ability to drive safely, vision ranks among the most important and is certainly the most emphasized when it comes to licensure. So despite the importance of vision and driver safety, little is known about the perspectives of vision care providers when it comes to helping their older adult patients and their patients' families make decisions about driving. The objectives of our study were to describe the perspectives regarding inquiring about driving and also reporting to a governmental agency, like in Michigan, it's the Secretary of State. We also wanted to identify what kinds of information is obtained when doing driving assessments and describe the referral patterns when driving concerns are identified, for example, to their primary care physician or to a driving rehabilitation specialist. We wanted to determine the usefulness of additional provider and patient resources, driving assessment resources. So for our study, we surveyed a sample of 500 vision care providers in the state of Michigan, 250 optometrists and 250 ophthalmologists. To be eligible to participate in this study, you had to have an active eye care practice in the state of Michigan, and your practice had to include patients who are 65 years and older. Our study was endorsed by the Michigan Optometric Association and the Michigan Society of Eye Physicians and Surgeons. Participants were identified by the membership roles of each organization. They were stratified by region, and weighting was used to ensure a representative sample. So when we were writing the survey questions, we wrote them sort of based on two constructs from the health belief model, cues to action and barriers. We also did a thorough review of the empirical literature, and we consulted with vision care providers and survey experts. After we had our initial survey pool, we pilot tested it with 20 vision care providers outside of the state of Michigan and 5 content experts. Our final questionnaire contained 100 questions. It was about 15 to 20 minutes to complete. Our primary method was a self-administered mailed survey, and we followed up with a web-based version that we developed. I'm going to talk about the first 6 sections of our survey just for the sake of brevity. So we asked them about their attitudes to reporting and inquiring about driving, and an example question would be to rank their level of agreement to a statement like, vision care providers should ask about their older patients' problems with driving. We wanted to know what barriers they experienced to conducting driving assessments or reporting. For example, their level of agreement to reporting patients who I consider unsafe drivers negatively impacts the doctor-patient relationship. And also, what kinds of information do providers consider when determining whether or not their patient is fit to drive? For example, do you ask whether your patient has difficulty driving at night or with glare or reading gauges? And what resources would be helpful in driving assessments, like a clinical screening instrument? And we wanted to know, do they refer? For example, I refer my patients for a road test when I'm unsure of their ability to drive safely. And then finally, we looked at their personal and practice characteristics, such as the age, provider type, gender, et cetera. At baseline, we mailed them a survey, a cover letter, a $20 incentive, and a self-addressed stamped envelope. For non-responders, we followed up with a second survey. At 8 weeks, for non-responders, if there was an email available, we emailed them a reminder to please complete the survey and also a link to the electronic version. If an email wasn't available, we telephoned their office to provide a verbal reminder and offer the electronic version. We achieved over an 80% response rate. Our final analytic sample was 404. about evenly split between optometrists and ophthalmologists. To give you a sense of our provider characteristics, the majority were male, not super surprising. They were pretty evenly split among age groups. In terms of the specialty, we had 51 optometrists, 49 ophthalmologists, which we further delineated into whether or not they were generalists or whether or not they claimed a subspecialty like glaucoma or retina. About half were in a group practice. Around 60% saw over 3,500 patients. Regarding their attitudes about driving assessment and reporting, nearly 90% agreed or strongly agreed with the statement that vision care providers should ask about their older patients' problems with driving, and nearly 90% thought that counseling their patients about safe driving was an important part of their role. 80% felt that they were confident in their ability to determine if a patient's vision was safe for driving. However, only 38% said that vision care providers are the most qualified professionals to identify unsafe drivers. In terms of the barriers that they experienced, around 60% said that reporting patients to the authorities negatively impacts the doctor-patient relationship. 43% said that reporting patients to the authorities was a breach of doctor-patient confidentiality. And then in terms of the consequences to the patient, 34% said they were reluctant to recommend stopping driving given the subsequent loss in quality of life that they assumed that their patient would experience. About a quarter of our sample were concerned with being held liable for reporting patients that they deemed unsafe, and 43% said that they felt that they could be held liable for not reporting patients who they considered unsafe. We were surprised to find that not very many people endorsed operational or health system barriers. Only a quarter of our sample said that they found the limited time for patient visits to be a barrier, and less than 11% said that limited office personnel hampered their ability to ask about driving. So we wanted to know what kinds of information they obtained to determine fitness to drive, both ocular and non-ocular. In terms of vision-related information, almost everybody endorsed, 99% endorsed visual acuity. Most vision care providers endorsed peripheral vision. 66% endorsed visual field. And then, of course, it steeply drops off from there, with 15% or less saying that they always or often ask about depth perception, contrast sensitivity, visual processing speed, or visual search. In terms of the non-ocular information, non-ocular driving-related information, 75% or more said they often or always ask about night driving and reading signs. About a half to three-quarters of our sample said they often or always asked about driving in inclement weather. Less than 25% said that they often or always asked about difficulty driving in heavy traffic or noticing cars to their left and right. Non-clinical information that's also sort of not super driving related is 30 to 40% of the vision care providers said they often or always notice a patient's age when determining their fitness to drive, and also whether or not their patient lives alone. 20 to 30% said they often or always consider whether or not their patient lives in a rural versus an urban area or has limited access to alternative forms of transportation. So we also examined differences in vision care providers' perspectives on reporting about driving with by patient and provider characteristics. And while there were other statistically significant differences that we found, the greatest number of significant differences were found between optometrists and ophthalmologists who reported having a subspecialty. This was followed by optometrists versus ophthalmologists who were generalists, and then finally by gender. So we found that ophthalmologists who indicated a subspecialty were less inclined to report unsafe drivers, were less inclined to advise patients to modify rather than stop driving altogether, and were less concerned about being held liable for not reporting unsafe drivers. Female clinicians were more inclined to ask about driving and be concerned about liability for reporting unsafe drivers. So regarding their referral patterns, referral patterns on the whole were relatively low. We have sometimes indicated in blue, often indicated in orange, and always indicated in black. Just over one-third of VCP or vision care providers reported sometimes, often, or always relating their concerns to their primary care physician. Ophthalmologists relayed concerns more often than optometrists. And when driving concerns were identified, vision care providers are more likely to refer patients for a road test or to a driving rehabilitation specialist than to a driving school at less than 10%. And ophthalmologists tended to be more likely to make such referrals than optometrists. However, the percent of, like I said, the percent of anyone using any of these referrals was relatively low. And then we asked what resources they would consider helpful. At 81%, so in blue we have the resources that are geared towards vision care providers, and in orange we have the resources that are for the patients. Over 80% said that driving assessment guidelines, such as those created by the AMA, would be helpful for vision care providers. Over 73% said that some sort of literature, educational materials for patients would be helpful. 70% endorsed a clinical screening instrument to be used during the office session for vision care providers. So in conclusion, we determined that inquiring about driving is a really important part of their job, or they feel that it's a really important part of their job. They do face some barriers. They're concerned about liability issues. They're concerned about the negative ramifications to the doctor-patient relationship if they report or broach the issue with their patients. Vision care providers are referring infrequently. And they also have endorsed the need for more or better driving assessment resources. Implications for further research and development. I think it would be important if we evaluate the existing driving assessment resources, because they certainly do exist, and we just weren't sure if they weren't being used because vision care providers found them to be unhelpful or inadequate, or whether they just simply didn't know about them. If it's the former, then trying to develop new provider and patient resources for driving assessment. Also, investigate why vision care providers aren't referring more frequently, and potentially develop models of communication between health professionals and the patient and family members to facilitate communication. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.